you'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. I don't think the church in our day has come to the reality of that we were singing. Stripped, destroyed, left with nothing. And it's only in that shape that Christ becomes our all and all. We've lived in a land of plenty after we began to recover from the Second World War. And we've lived with very little need of God. I believe John was right that need's going to increase. Well, Ezekiel chapter 1. I mentioned this verse to you a few weeks back. So I trust the Lord will open it and help us in our service this day. Beginning with verse number 1, reading down through verse number 4. And then adding some other verses prior to our looking at this. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month. And I've often wondered. You go on to the next chapter, or the one following, or the one following that. And you'll hear, and it came to pass in the 35th year, such a day, such a month. And I wonder, what's the priest doing? What's the prophet doing in between these years, sometimes months, wherein God does not speak and does not have a message? Well, he's waiting. Having himself in a right place and right frame of heart, so that when the Lord does return with a message, he will hear. As I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. For there is but one revelation throughout the scripture, and that is of God and of Christ. Christ revealing the fullness of the Godhead body. If you're looking for anything else in the scriptures, you're going to be sadly disappointed, though you might find things that would stir your curiosity. Men have made books by the thousands upon the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of the Revelation. And they've come up with all kind of things, images, what this beast represents, what that one represents. And they're missing all the scriptures testify of me, the Lord Jesus said. So it is He that you are trying to find, whether it be in the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms, and especially in the New Testament. The Old Testament is a shadow. I will hide me until the shadows pass away, flee. That's the law being fulfilled. And that's the church standing on the other side in the New Testament time, looking back at the types and the shadows, the figures of these things that represent our Lord and our Savior. So when you get to verse 4, you are to find one thing. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. Lord willing, that'll be the title this morning, A Fire Enfolding Itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. I want you to see from Scripture what this fire is, what it represents, and then how it is to affect us. Scripture is only profitable as it is made practical, personal, and applied by the Spirit of God to your hearts. All of you here know that Jesus rose. The devils know that. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote about Jesus, though he did not believe that he was the Son of God, yet he wrote about his life, his ministry, and what type of man he was. It's the Scripture made applicable to your heart that benefits you, and only that. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19 and verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse number 11. God's coming down, and if God comes down, people must be ready to receive him. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down. For God's everywhere. There is no place that he is not. But when it says he comes down, came down to visit the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, to see if that which he had heard was true. It is just the Lord drawing nigh to a people. I'm coming down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. That ought to be sufficient to let you know that the fire in Ezekiel 1, enfolding itself, is nothing less than a representation of God to him. Descended upon it in a fire. Behold, he putteth no trust in the saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. Job 15:15. So if God is coming down, there must be a purging, a cleansing, and a preparation for a people to meet with this God too holy to look upon sin. So he descended. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Psalm 50, verse number 3. So the Lord descended upon it in a fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Chapter number 20 of Exodus. And verse number 21. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness. God always will be hiding himself in a dark cloud. And sometimes you have to press on in this darkness to get to the light that is shining there. Sometimes you will not know what is taking place in your life. Sometimes you will not be able to put any meaning, any sense, any direction as to what the Lord would have you do, or where he would have you go. God dwelleth in thick darkness. Now, I know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But for you to get there, there is this thick darkness where God was, or to us is. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 11. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. He bowed the heavens. Also came down, and darkness was under his feet, Psalm 18:9. Now travel to the Mount of Transfiguration only in mind. There Jesus takes with him three of the closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, they behold something of the glory of God being manifest in the person of Jesus. And they see Elijah, and they see Moses. God bringing back men that have passed on into eternity to commune with his son there and tell him that which he faces by their experience. Only ones that know anything about it, God brings back. But when Peter sees this transfiguring, this transforming sight, the glory that is in the man Jesus coming out more than has ever been witnessed before, Peter, not knowing what to say, said, "Why don't we build three tabernacles up here? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he spake, he ought to have been silent. But while he spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And the disciples feared as they entered the cloud, the darkness that is about God. And the darkness that you pass through getting to the light. One last, Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, "Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thy hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scattered them over the city." And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. What follows the cloud? Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Is it now reasonable for me to say that the fire enfolding itself in Ezekiel 1 is a manifestation of the living God? God is a consuming fire, Deuteronomy 4. And in that fire, Moses declares to the people that the Lord their God, as a consuming fire, is very jealous. Paul quoted that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 29. The Lord God is a consuming fire. So that's established, if you will, if you will have it so. Now, one last, I want you to turn with me. One last for the time being. The Song of Solomon. Chapter number 8 and verse number 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. God is jealous. God is a consuming fire. What has that to do with me as a believer? As a consuming fire, God will destroy everything within you that is foreign to the union that you have with His Holy Son. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. My Father is the husbandman. And in the husbandman's hand, there is pruning shears. There is a knife. And you know if you have good fruit, it is the result of you keeping the tree pruned so that it will produce the best possible fruit. God's jealous. Your life is His. He will burn up. He will cut off. He will destroy everything that is within all of us that would hinder the union between a saved sinner and God Himself in Christ, that would hinder that union from receiving the vital, life-giving fluid that flows from the vine. Do you have the Spirit of God? If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. If you have the Spirit of God, he will forever be active. God's jealous. God won't put up with you having two lovers. God won't put up with you having a heart divided. God will cut off from you everything that is receiving that fluid from the vine that you are using for yourself, for personal gain. You have, you ask, but you don't have. Because when you ask, it is to consume it upon your own lust. And God will teach you what it is that you are to ask and how you are to pray. Every man's works. I wish somehow that I had the ability, and then again, I know that it is of God and I'll leave it with Him. But I wish somehow God would really make Himself known to His people. And that they could come to a judgment day standing before Him in their mind. It'll clean up a lot of our living. Man's works shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare them, so as they will be revealed by fire. Here or there, the fire will burn in us. And the fire shall try every man's works, what sort it is. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth in the fire, God burning off, God destroying things that you think are faith, God taking away from you that which you think you need to be a Christian in right standing with Him, until you are left with absolutely nothing, including not even the belief in your head that Christ is or that you are a Christian, the fire will burn away. So that the faith of Christ and it alone might be found in your soul unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Christ our Lord. Now what about a fire? There is constant activity within that fire, enfolding itself until everything within the fire is consumed and it has nothing else to fuel it and it dies out. The three Hebrew children were cast into the fiery furnace, so hot that it destroyed those that threw them in there. And yet the fire did not affect them other than cutting them free from the cords that they had bound them with. The fire from God burned so in my heart that even though I had determined in my mind that I would not speak any more about God, Jeremiah said, the fire was burning so that I could not keep silent. Burning. Well, God will always be a fire. And all that is within the Godhead will always be fueling that. But that fire of God will reach down to all the children and consume away that which is not honoring or pleasing to the Lord. Nothing within the Godhead will be destroyed. Therefore, the flames of His love, of His jealousy, of His zeal, of the resolute determination within the man Jesus for the accomplishment of everything that He must do for the Father's glory, that will always be existing in the Godhead. It will always be burned. This is my beloved Son. You want to build three tabernacles and you want to put Moses and Elijah on the same plane with Jesus, and the cloud came down and they feared as they entered, for God will straighten out Peter and any of the disciples that felt like that He was speaking their mind. Everything in Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire. They say there were slime pits there, oil pits, probably. And then the lightning from heaven set on fire, all that. But before the fire destroyed the city, He had to get Lot out. And when He got His child out of there, nothing remained alive. And in that huge hole, waters began to fill it the saltiest water on the face of the earth. Nothing lives there. If any life floating down the river falls into the sea, it dies. It has no outlet and dies. Anywhere that the Lord has been, white horse, riding with the gospel, it is always followed by the black horse, death. And the gospel will never again ride to that nation, to that people, to that country, or to that land. Some in there will be saved. Israel, as a nation of old, will never again have the gospel presented to them as a nation. And if the light goes out here, it will be upon our rejection of the white horse rider in our midst. And death will follow, and the little ones here will not have a gospel church. How oft would I have gathered you? Jesus said as he looked over Jerusalem in Matthew 23 and wept. And then he said, but your house is left unto you desolate. The Jews as a nation will never again have the gospel. Our country might think that we are blessed by helping the Jews, but it's a false notion based upon an Old Testament promise where God said, those that look after you, and those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. And we brought it over in the natural realm, and it only had to do with the spiritual realm because Israel rejected Christ. And the fire that burned within the holy soul of the Lord Jesus and would have received them, I can't explain that, would have received them, but they rejected Him, and now forever their house is left desolate. You better be careful here as an individual, because it is only individuals that make up the church. Now, the eternal activity in the Godhead. Proverbs chapter 8. Before you ever were, before your great grandmother and grandfather ever were, before Adam ever was, before any of the angels had ever been created, before any mountains had ever been formed, any water had ever been spoken into existence, before any life, trees, vegetation, animals, had ever been created by the Word of God, there was activity in the Godhead. Proverbs 8:27, let's begin. When He prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, God, manifest in flesh, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Now listen, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. From the heart of the Father towards the Son, activity of the Spirit of God, activity in the triune God, the great three in one, before anything was ever formed. There was love. There was adoration. There was that well-beloved Son of God in whom the heart of the Father admired, in whom the Spirit of God was bringing the interaction between all three. I was daily his delight, being his only begotten Son, expressing fully all that God is or was. I was rejoicing always before him. But it goes farther than just activity, the fire enfolding itself in God, Son, and Holy Ghost. Look at the Son in verse 31. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth and my delights, heart of God the Father set on God the Son. The heart of the very Son of God set upon the sons of men, delighting in them before ever one was created. But they always have been, even before God made them. If Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, it was due to a people he loved that would be in a sinful condition that would be brought into an upright standing before God. My delights were with the sons of men. Now, not a select few, not quote unquote spiritual Christians. There's no such thing as any other than that. But all the children are brought into union with Christ. We won't go into the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But there is an addition into the Godhood. There is a woman being formed that will be brought back into eternity with the very bone of Christ's bone, flesh of his flesh, and the very spirit in which there was the fullness in his breast. That very spirit flows in your breast if you are a child. And there will forever be eternal activity beginning in time and going all the way into eternity and through. You, if you are a Christian, were united to the living God. Now here's the white horse riding. Today is the day of salvation. If any of ye hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. God passed over that generation. The summer is coming to an end. Fall is upon us. Crops have been harvested and brought in. But God said, my people are not saved. white horse riding, followed by the black horse. You think that God just been sitting up there inactive on the throne? That fire, the love of God, the jealousy of God, the desire of God, the will of God, all has been burning and folding itself from all eternity. And now, that fire, were you passing through that dark cloud? Is a preview of coming attractions if you miss the gospel. An eternal darkness. With the activity of what is going on in your mind today, carried into eternity. And your mind and your conscience will forever be that fire that is unquenched, where the worm dieth not. On November 4th, 2012, you sat here. On this day, you heard that the gospel rides through, and that if the gospel does not penetrate your heart and bring you as a guilty sinner into a darkness before God, you will enter into that eternal darkness. And if He ever saved you, Christ is forever by the Spirit of God, giving you an active soul, an active heart, an active desire in pursuing after the one object that is becoming most precious and dear to your soul, the delight. If you were His delight, somewhere in time, His delight will be that in your soul. And your delight will be Him. Activity, a daily pursuit for the object that your soul loves. My beloved spake, Song of Solomon, 3, 4, maybe 5 times. My beloved spake. And He said, rise up, my love, my sister, my spouse. You've grown careless. You've become negligent. The things of life, though necessary, have all but cumbered you down. Rise up, my love. Get up from that soft bed on which you've already washed your feet. Put on your night clothes. Get up and open the door. Rise up and come away with me. Decisions will carry you straight to the pit of hell, if that decision is not always active in your soul, bringing you on to a realization of the vital union in Christ Jesus. God hates formalism. The rituals of man are nothing to Him other than offensive. Do you really believe that you're praying, you're reading, you're even sitting here can be an offense to God? Do you really believe that God will not tolerate lukewarmness? That you will not have a heart engaged in pursuit of Christ? Moab hath been at ease from his youth. We're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. If you this day have no need spiritually, you are of all men. I won't say cursed, but if that without a need persists, you are of all men most miserable and cursed. You got food on your table, in the shelves, in the freezer. You got an income from your job. You got insurance. You know a good doctor. These things are going to be in little existence. I tell you what God said to Israel. You're going to throw your gold down and your silver, and you're going to flee from where you are because of the Babylonians, because of the Assyrians. And you're going to find out that you really don't have anything. There's none of us here today got anything of permanent value. Nothing. Unless you have faith in the Lord Jesus. We're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. God said, depart from me. I don't have children except they be children in need. I know at times the children get lax. I know at times that we sit down when we ought to be pursuing. That's why Christ said, rise up. I know at times we fall asleep when we ought to be alert. But none of us are left there. None of us. God will not have you indifferent. God will not have you sitting. God will so put a need within your soul that nothing will satisfy until you get to the Lord Jesus. And I close with this. Jesus said, I'm as a landowner, and I've got vineyards. And I'm going to lease these vineyards out to tenants. And I'm going to come again to collect my fruit from them. I am as a businessman that I called this servant and I gave 10 talents. And to this one I gave 5. And to this one I gave 1. I will come again. And I will find out what you've been doing with my orchard. I will find out what you've been doing with my talents. And so he comes to take an account of all his servants. I gave you 10, you did, Lord, and I put them to use and I've earned 10. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you five. He said, yes, Lord. And I put them into use, and I gained five more. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you one. Yeah, Lord, I knew you were sovereign. I knew that you reaped where you didn't sow. So I wrapped up that talent that you gave me, and I buried it in the earth. If you wait right here, I'll go get it. And he goes and he gets the talent and he brings it back. And he said, bind that man hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness and into the eternal fires of hell. He didn't use what I gave him. It didn't benefit him. That one kept his fruit tree. And now I'm going to reward him with this much. That one didn't do anything with that I gave him. Whether the gospel is real in your soul or not, the gospel is here. The only way that you know it's real is if there is an active pursuit for the author and finisher of your faith. We're going to lose the gospel if our hearts as one do not become active again. We are settling in on our lees. God, as a consuming fire, activity, eternal activity in the Godhead, and if you have been united with His Son, there is that activity that began at the new birth, and it will continue day after day after day. Until your fruit's ripe and ready to be plucked. You go out to the orchard. If you got one that's not ready, you have to put a force to get it off the tree. But if you get one that is ripened, full of juice and has grown to its capacity, just a light touch and it'll fall. Don't let God remove you forcibly. Yield to the potter's hand and touch. And get back to this ever-burning fire. Jim, you come and lead us in our closing hymn.